Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Greetings, listener dear. Tis I, Tom.
And me, Matthew.
And I'm not Ben.
That's right. Ben has gone. Can you believe it?
He's not forgotten.
2011, we started doing podcasts with Clarkie, and
he's finally got a job.
He's finally
has meant he had to leave a recording early.
Yeah,
he'll be back.
That's true. Clarkie's popped off. He's in this episode. Don't worry, Clarkie fans. He's in this episode, and boy, oh boy, is he in it. He certainly is. So he's in this episode, but unfortunately, he had to leave just before the end of the recording.
Yes.
And we record the intros and outros after we record the episode.
A magical glimpse behind the curtain there.
You're getting a real glimpse into the process.
This was a Beef Brothers cold cut.
It is a Beef Brothers. It remains a Beef Brothers cold cut. And if you would like to contribute to a Beef Brothers cold cut, you could email beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com as Nathan did. Now, do you remember Nathan?
No.
From the Sarah Keyworth episode?
Oh, yes.
The guy from Oxford.
Yes.
He's got back in touch.
Great.
Here we go. He says, "Hi, Beef Brothers. Just got round to catching up on the podcast after coming back from the Fringe. Thank you for reading out my beef." Well, you know what, Nathan? It's an absolute pleasure. "Please, could you send my apologies to Sarah Keyworth? I didn't mean to bring her as much misery as I end up doing. Shouldn't have mentioned Oxford. Oh, well." He then says, "I saw Parioki at the Fringe and it was wonderful."
Oh, bless him.
"And I'm really enjoying the new Radio X show, and I love seeing Clarkie pop up all over the place too." So do we.
He's popped off
all over the place. But Nathan, we will pass your apology on to Sarah Keyworth. But listening back to that episode, I don't think she'll accept it.
No.
I can't see her accepting it.
She'll never be the same again.
But if you have a beef you would like to share, do get in touch. beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
Please be honest.
Please be honest, guys. That's all we ask. If you're popping a quid into the PO box, just be honest.
Just be honest.
So, tell us about this episode, Tom.
This week's guest was Annie McGrath, long-term fan of the show. No, long-term friend.
I don't think she's a fan of the show.
No, we're not sure if she's a fan of the show or not, but she's a long-term friend, wonderful comedian, and we whip-cracked away into your beefs.
Yes, so enjoy it, and we'll see you on the other side.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef Brothers sorting out your beef.
So, our guest today is Annie McGrath.
A.N. McGrath.
And the I and the E.
That's the whole jingle.
Hello.
And it. So it's A-N the what is it? A-N the Magura.
And then
she says, I and the E.
Well, it's always great that someone's come with their own jingle. I didn't know. Listen, if I'd known you two were going to be getting together beforehand to workshop ideas, I would have arrived a little bit earlier, tried to get in on the action. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Are you a flatmate? What kind of a flatmate are you?
I am a flatmate. I've lived in the same house for 6.5 years.
Wow. Congratulations.
Friend. Thank you. Moving out on Sunday.
Oh, the end of an era. So the perfect time
to
get you on the podcast.
Great for closure. Let's put a
button
on this.
You can really lay into your flatmates and finally, after 6.5 years, let them know.
I feel like I can't, though, because she's been very good to me. I've had very cheap rent.
Is she a landlord as well?
I've known her since I was born. Yeah.
Is it your mom?
She's been
a great mother. Years old.
Charlie is her name.
Charlie, yes. I've realised I've been, haven't I? I've visited.
Yeah, you have.
It's very nice.
Because on the last podcast I did with you, we played Guess the Taps.
Oh, yeah.
We did play Guess
the
Taps.
One of our great games,
If you'd like to go back to the Will Adamsdale, Annie McGrath episode of Flatshare Slamdown, I believe it was either last series or the series before, guess the number of taps in the house.
Yeah.
Great game.
Strong game.
Really strong game.
Almost as good as the plug game.
What was the plug game?
Where you had to guess what plugs were being plugged in. And
oh, my God. The plug, yeah. What plugs? What was it called? Earplugs?
Earplugs, that was it. Yeah.
Earplugs was very successful.
Crosby had to listen to a plug being plugged into a wall and then guess what the plug was for.
And if you'd like to hear that, you can get that on our Patreon. Genuinely, that's bonus Patreon
subscribers
content.
Only.
Subscribers only. Wow. So there's a lot of people here thinking, that sounds great. I've got to get on the Patreon.
I've got to get in on that.
Patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. Nice little plug, by the way.
Yeah, there we go.
In every sense of the term.
Plugging the plugs.
So you've known Charlie since the day you were born.
Yep, the day I was born.
So it's not your mother.
It's not my mum, promise.
Midwife?
Am I a midwife?
No, was she your midwife?
No,
that's just one of my questions.
No.
And did you deliver yourself? Are you a midwife?
Because we brought you on thinking you're a midwife.
Oh, shit.
This is a sort of largely midwifery-based podcast we're going to be doing today.
I could be in character as a midwife.
Lovely stuff. Let's workshop that now.
How you doing?
great first question to ask any midwife.
I mean, that's it. You don't have to always talk to them about
Do you know what? This is a busman's holiday. As a midwife, if we talk to you about midwifery,
that's it.
Let's just ask you a few simple questions. What's going on, man?
Delivering a lot of babies.
Sure.
Cool.
Any good ones recently?
Very big ones recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Because do you mostly handle their newborn, right? Newborn.
Yeah. Unless they're late, they're a bit older coming
out. Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
What's the oldest baby you've ever delivered?
Yeah.
That's a good one, actually.
Matt Crosby.
Yeah. Just before the show.
Yeah.
He arrived.
I was born just before the show. That's why I'm covered in all this sort of this goo.
Amniotic fluid?
A little bit of amniotic fluids knocking around. The placenta's still attached.
Did you eat the placenta when you had a baby?
No, I did not eat the placenta when I had a baby. But thank you for asking.
That's okay.
Did Charlie?
No, Charlie did not eat. No one ate the placenta.
Did the midwife?
Well, I've got news here, mate.
Clarky was hanging around a couple of hours after you left. I said, has anyone got dibs on that?
Is anyone going to finish that?
Anyone having that? No, we talked about it, but in the end, we decided against it, and it was quite a sort of complicated birth. So we sort of
why would you?
Well, it's supposed to have health-giving properties. In fact, a lot of people dry the placenta and
wear it.
When you say a lot of people, is that what you're doing?
No. We haven't dried it either. The placenta, as far as I'm concerned, it's been incinerated.
Where
somewhere.
Do you dry it? You burn the placenta.
Well, I'm assuming so. What do you do with chemical with medical waste?
Single use
placenta. Yeah, I assume
and recycle it.
Yeah, that's part of my job, burning. Placentas.
You burn the placentas.
Yeah. It's my specialism.
What do people do with dried placentas? That's what I'm interested to know.
Eat them like a dried apricot.
Like an apricot. Yeah. So that if you want a snack on
put
your
it
placenta,
on yogurt.
Sure. I always imagine like
you
an
omelet. You can have it in capsule form. Well, right? it basically looks like a big bit of offal.
Okay.
So it looks like a big sort of meaty bit of offal.
Is it meat?
Well, technically it's from a human body, yeah. So it's, I guess it's meat.
You can have it.
I mean, what else would it be? It's not cheese. What do you think it would be? It's not bread. What other part? If it's coming out of a human body.
It's a very good point.
It's a vegetable.
Yeah, exactly. I imagine it's a bit like an egg.
Mineral?
It's not an egg.
Is it like a rock?
It's not like a rock.
The baby's like an egg.
The baby grows from an egg.
Have Interesting. You tasted the breast milk?
Yes.
Is that something you ask every patient?
Yes.
Do you taste it first so you can recommend it?
Yeah.
This breast milk's corked, unfortunately. we have tasted it and tastes a bit like cauliflower.
Ooh.
Oh,
yeah, you wouldn't expect that, would you?
Well, that's a shame.
That's good because there's a shortage of cauliflower. Did you hear about that?
No.
There's a Brexit-style cauliflower shortage.
Yeah,
is there?
So maybe they'll start using breast milk.
To reconstitute.
For cauliflower cheese.
You can geel up the milk.
Yeah.
Oh, suddenly you've got yourself cauliflower cheese. Imagine.
I think you've just got cheese.
Yeah, but cheese that tastes like cauliflower.
So you don't need any cauliflower.
Combo, just cut out the middleman.
Yeah, absolutely. If you've got any spare breast milk, do fry it up and see what it tastes like. If it tastes like cauliflower cheese, but without the cauliflower.
Leave us a review on iTunes and tell us what your breast milk tastes like.
Please do. Okay, shall we?
Absolutely disgusting.
I know, it was absolutely foul from start to finish that.
Lots of people like cauliflower. Anyway, let's get on with the podcast.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Very polite. My beef is with my eternal flatmate, brackets wife.
Who's this from?
This is from Matt.
Matt, okay.
One T. My beef is with my eternal flatmate, brackets wife. We have recently moved into an apartment about three times smaller than our previous one.
Oh, here we go.
It, full stop, is full stop, tiny, full stop.
Okay.
I can't stress that enough. I think he could have if he'd used capitals. In our previous flat, brackets, where only the two of us lived, we had about 60 mugs. Far too many, I'm sure you'll agree.
60?
60.
That's too many mugs. Yeah,
that is too many mugs.
Far too many, I think you'll agree. I do. My wife doesn't. She would buy a new mug roughly once a week and use that one, declaring it her favourite mug, thus relegating all the other mugs to the back of several cupboards. After many arguments, we managed to cull around a third of the mug herd. That's a good sentence. The rest came with us to our new place.
So they're taking about 40 mugs.
My wife has agreed that there's still an obsessively high number of mugs. My words, not hers. But I fear we're still on opposite sides of reason. With me, of course, on the side of reason. Her on the side of porcelain insanity.
Well, firstly, Matt, lovely turns of phrase all the way through that.
It's a beautifully, yeah, beautifully written.
It's well written.
Porcelain insanity sounds like a Jamiroquai record. I am of the opinion that we need tops 6 mugs, 2 for us, 4 for guests / variety. My wife is of the opinion that we need as many as will fit. Please help Matt. P.S. She will buy more.
Right, okay.
This is good.
This is a great beef. This is a very strong beef.
This is yeah.
Because I feel like every house gets to a situation where they've got too many mugs.
Yeah.
We're talking about Easter eggs. We're talking about
so funny that that became the way to pimp an Easter egg. Pop it in a mug.
Pop it in a mug.
Yeah.
It works though.
It does work.
I wanted that Smarties Easter egg. Don't care that much for Smarties.
No.
But I wanted that Smarties mug. It was brown, it was curvy, had Smarties on the side, looked amazing.
Yeah, a strong mug.
I don't think 6 is enough mugs.
I think I'm more with her.
I mean, she obviously... What,
40, right, 40 or 6?
I'd go 40 over 6.
Would you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because 2 and 2 guests. Firstly, you're going to have more than 4 people at one point for a cup of tea. No?
You'd hope so.
Sure. And then what if 2 are in the dishwasher?
Hang on, their new place is tiny.
Yeah, it could be.
That's key.
It is tiny. The thing, I think what this comes down to is that mugs have, like T-shirts, personalities more than other items in your kitchen.
Okay.
So you have an emotional attachment. Yeah. And I think that's what's happening here is he does not have an emotional attachment to mugs, but people do have. And mugs do have characters.
Well, tea tastes better out of certain mugs.
And also certain mugs are better for certain times of day.
Yeah.
Oh.
I also think you have to have some mugs that you never use. Like there's some that I look at in my cupboard and I'm like, that's fucking disgusting.
Like, what are they for? Just as a sort of deterrent? Or to make the other ones feel special? What do you get from having mugs you never
You've
use?
You've retired those
A
mugs.
Disgusting mug.
Yeah. So that you can focus on the nice ones.
But
other people, like some people like a wide girth, but I like a narrow girth.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Do you know what absolutely grinds my gears?
Oh, go on.
When you go to a kooky cafe.
It?
Go on, what are you going to guess?
Glass mug.
No, I don't mind a glass mug.
Oh, right,
I like a glass mug.
I don't mind a glass mug. As long as it's got one of those little metal holders around it, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Glass mug is fine. When you go to a kooky cafe and they've decided to get all kinds of different mismatched crockery.
Yeah, and the tiny teacups.
Like one shot. And you go, oh, I'd like a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. And they bring you out. Like, so all say we're all having a cup of coffee. We're all getting different amounts of coffee, but we're paying the same amount of money. How do they get away with it?
It's a travesty.
It's an absolute travesty.
It's true.
It's daylight robbery.
Yeah.
And you can't say, oh, sorry, take this back. I don't. Or they send it. They give it to you in a really thin, tall mug. You're like, I don't want that.
You like thin, tall mugs, is this right?
I like a thin, tall mug.
No way.
Not too thin.
Big, wide mug.
I don't know, because they get cold really quickly. Like ones like that size.
For the listener, it's about the size of a neck.
Wow. Hold on. It's not the size of a neck, is it?
It's quite a thin neck, isn't it?
So, look, if you can fit your fingers round your neck.
Hello.
I can.
It's about the size of a neck.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
It is the size of a neck.
You do have your fingers around your neck. Yeah.
I believe everyone can, apart from people who have got problems with their fingers or necks.
Okay, about the size of a neck. So if you've got a mug that's about the size of a neck, you don't like it because it gets cold quickly.
Yeah. I also like ones that are the same width from the top to the bottom. I don't like the ones
that start
wide and then go in at the bottom.
You don't like a tapered mug?
Not particularly,
like
no.
A wine glass. You don't like a wine glass?
I like a wine glass, but not for tea.
Right, good call.
Have you got a preference with mugs?
Not particularly, no. My brother has to have, because he's an idiot, has to have tea in it. Has
whoa,
to have tea
whoa,
in
he's
it.
Not here to defend
hey,
himself.
Hey, come yeah, on now.
You know, I'll say it. He has to have tea in a porcelain mug.
Has to be porcelain.
Yeah, it has to be porcelain.
Can't
you
be.
See? You're giving me that face now.
He does that.
I was right for calling him an idiot, right? He's like, oh no, I'm not drinking out of that.
Can I just ask? And I'm clearly the savage here.
Yeah.
Like, what's the difference between like porcelain and china and
mate,
like?
I've got no idea.
So what? I'm guessing.
I would also posit that he has no idea as well.
Yeah, that sounds quite pretentious.
Yeah.
Doesn't porcelain break more easily?
Porcelain's like you're thinner, it's more thinner, delicate. Yeah.
Can I just say, break more easily is not a great test because you're like, give that here, smash on the floor. Yes. Yeah, I'll have that one, please.
I love it enough, please.
Say the Smarties mug. I'm guessing that's not porcelain.
No,
right?
Absolutely not.
The much treasured Smarties mug I had as a child. My rosebud.
didn't realise there was so much ice.
Spoiler alert, mate.
Yeah, sorry, mate. So I keep going back to this Smarties mug, but yeah, presumably that was just. What would that be made of?
China.
Yeah. Was it your standard size mug, but with Smarties on it, or was it?
It was about the size of a neck.
Yeah.
It was halfway between a neck and a knee. Yeah. Somewhere like that sort of size.
I tell you what, the classic neck mug is the Sports Direct one, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, the big.
Oh, the thick white one. Oh, I hate that.
That's not for you.
Not for me. The handle's so thick.
Yeah, but if you get one of them as well, you're like, nah, keep that, mate. Give that to someone who wants it.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Do you not have it? I've got a couple of. Like pint glass size.
My other brother used to be big into it. He always used to have a pint mug.
And yeah.
He'd
of tea?
It. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. We're not
too much tea.
We're not a tea drinking household. Neither my wife nor I, nor our little baby, drinks tea. Charlie drinks coffee. I've sort of in the last 6 months gone off coffee as well. So I'm not really. I might occasionally have like a ginger tea or something like that.
Hot Ravena?
No, not hot. No, don't really like sweet drinks.
Are you stepping away from hot drinks then?
Are you stepping away from drinks?
Basically, yeah,
like?
I'm stepping
just
away.
Just breast milk.
Just purely breast milk. Don't need a mug for that. Comes in its own receptacle. It's about the size of a breast. If I had to estimate the size. No, I have water. I drink water out of a plastic festival cup. That is my drink at home, or a bottle, yeah,
Back to basics.
Back to basics, yeah. I love my Latitude cup. That's basically what I drink. I drink a pint of water out of my Latitude cup. Or if I'm feeling particularly jaunty, Macfest.
Wow.
And that's what I like to drink.
I find I knock those over too easily. Water out of a plastic cup, just knock it over.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You don't respect the vessel enough if it's plastic.
I'm just a bit clumsy, I think.
The cat'll knock it over, so you've got to be careful if the cat's cutting about. But no, I don't knock it over. Just put it on a nice high shelf. Like a mantelpiece. Something like that.
I think the key to this email is my wife is of the opinion that we need as many as will fit.
Yes.
And I like that sentiment, because when you get into your house, when you get into your new flat, there's going to be the cupboard that's the mug cupboard,
sure,
and you're going to give at least one shelf in the mug cupboard to mugs, or like, you know, like, or you'll do like a shelf to glasses, a shelf to mugs.
Yeah,
so why wouldn't you fill that shelf purely with mugs? And if you can get 40 in there, have them.
I think you're right. I think, you know, you're not going to do...
I'd even spread onto two shelves.
Why not? If you've got them.
I think we do. We've got a shelf and a half. Yeah. But, like, you've got to give at least one whole shelf to mugs.
You can't do half shelf, half bowls.
Or you're on a mug tree and that's it.
I like mug tree.
So that's why he's gone to six.
Yeah, that's like six, isn't it?
But that's the choice, I think, here, isn't it? That's what we boiled it down to, is six, mug tree, or mug shelf.
I think you have to have... If you're having a mug tree, that's like... You need to have a shelf as well. That's like spillover from the shelf.
Yes, absolutely.
Or those, you don't those just have a
six,
mug tree.
Your six best mugs out on display.
Yeah.
The ones for show. If you've got six matching.
Yeah.
I mean, who's got six matching? Have you got six matching mugs?
We do, actually. Yeah.
Do you? Oh.
Yeah,
I'll get you a mug tree. Yeah. Because I've been around your house and I never knew that. So you need a mug tree to be showing that shit off.
Good point. I felt like I always use them when you guys come round.
Do you know what? Maybe I'm just not paying attention. Also, I don't... I've, maybe I'm just not having coffee anymore.
Could be that.
What it is. But I think you're right, though. I thought you were going to say something like, when you get into a house, you don't want the house to be in charge.
Oh.
I thought that's what you were going to say. You were like, I turn you into a home. You don't tell me how to turn you into a home, yeah. Right? It's all.
So you're talking mugs in the wardrobe. Is that what you're talking about?
I'm saying put your mugs wherever you like. But I'm also saying don't just if you want to go to two shelves, go to two shelves. Also, do you stack your mugs?
Yeah. Double stack.
I don't stack
as well.
But yeah,
should we start doing flat slam mugs so that these guys can get a mug?
Let's not talk about any other merch. We'll never get around to fucking.
Should we just start selling off our excess mugs and just kind of just Sharpie flat slam onto them, because I've got some XX mugs.
You have, yeah.
Could go.
You've got six matching ones. Are if someone wants to get
merchandise from the band XX,
I've got some XX.
I don't think he's looking for more mugs from that letter.
Have you got a favourite mug? If you were like, yeah. Tell but us now, is. What's your favourite mug?
It's orange and it's got a white handle, same width all the way around, and it's got like illustrations of deer and some things like that. Sounds gross, nice. But it is nice.
Yeah.
Promise. I'll send a photo.
Okay.
There we go.
Parry, what about yours?
It's a Royal Shakespeare Company mug that's about 7 years old. It is, yeah. It's very pleasing colours.
Yeah. What is it? Yeah. Does it have a little a quotation on it or anything like that?
No, it's just got like a shot of the building and then it's very red. That's very kind of impactful.
Is it a classic mug design or are we talking a porcelain mug?
Classic mug design.
Classic mug design.
And it's like, and I definitely prefer it in the mornings to the afternoons.
What's your afternoon receptacle?
Currently it's a Wolves mug that someone sent me. But I've also got another preferred one is from about 8 years ago, my mum bought me a weird, and this is, you would hate this, it's all sorts of shape. It kind of comes out a bit like a jug.
Is it a jug?
No.
Are you drinking?
It's right on the Harry. It's a spout short of a jug.
Oh, okay.
It packs a big punch.
Gravy boat.
That sounds like an
close.
That sounds like an insult.
Yeah.
Of someone.
He's one spout.
He's a spout short of a jug.
Yeah, you couldn't fit your fingers around his neck.
You'd want to.
I think it was like the Mandela Foundation had like a charity. They released a load of mugs with celebrity quotes on them, and this one's got, I think, a Samuel L. Jackson mug on the side, a quote on the side.
What's his quote?
I can't remember.
Not the one from Pulp Fiction.
No, it's like him saying, I hope the world can be a better place.
Motherfucker.
I like that. That was just.
He's clearly on his best behaviour.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
keep it clean, they say.
Yeah.
Like the mug.
Yeah. What's yours? Obviously, the Smarty mug, the mugs of the past. But now,
that's Smarty Mug.
I don't really need mugs anymore.
Don't really need mugs anymore, no. My favourite receptacles, that's not what we're talking about.
No.
But obviously, I love my Latitude cup. I love my MacFest cup.
Is this sponsored by Latitude, this podcast?
No, not at all. But if they want to rebook us, we're always there. Tanya?
You've got your own cup.
Podcast arena.
You've got our number. If we show up with our own cups, I could get a quid for that.
That's a good point.
I'm eating into this year's profits. I'm showing up straight away. I show up. If anything, you know, they give us the tickets to go there.
Yeah.
They're not making a dime out of us. We go straight in.
Return the cups.
1 quid, please.
3 quid.
Back in the car. Whoomph, straight out of there. Up yours. But I think we've
got that at MacFest. You could work the festival. You could work the festival circuit.
I could work the festival circuit with just all those plastics. I love it. Before they realise this is from 3 years ago, I'm out of there. Admittedly, the petrol costs are quite high, but I'll work out the logistics later. I'll get a lift. So I think, I mean, we've got some quite nice ones from the TV shows we've made. They're quite hard to throw away. We've got a Bad Alts mug, which is absolutely useless.
Yeah, I've got about five of those.
We've got a little Bad Alts mug, which we bought it for the cast and crew, it turned out to be much smaller than we realised. It's much smaller than a neck. I'll say that much.
Yeah, it's quite dainty. It's basically quite a dainty mug.
It's smaller than a lot of people's wrists.
Is it a shot glass?
It's basically a shot glass.
With a little handle.
Shot glass with a handle and weirdly a spout. But I found out that actually it's the perfect amount of rice for one person.
Oh, that's good.
That's what that's become. That's the rice mug. Yeah, I used to like, you know, if I'm making like a ginger tea, the bigger the better. Like a proper big lasts all afternoon kind of mug. I like that. That's what I go for.
Yeah, good for herbal tea because it cools down.
Exactly.
I mean, it starts
allows
very hot.
Allows the tea to permeate. Yeah. So, have we solved this beef, or have we just talked about mugs for 45 minutes?
Well, I guess it's just which way do we land? We have to decide. I think we either go mug tree or mug shelf. And I think one's Matt's wife.
There's nothing more depressing than opening a mug cupboard and there being like four mugs in
I'm
there.
With you.
That's like student halls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Variety is the spice of life.
Do you remember when, CDs were quite a big thing. That's how we listen to our music.
Mm-hmm. Still, and
still
is. Yeah.
Do you remember those things that were like you could stack your CD in like a little wooden frame?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they would be probably about 3 foot, 4 foot tall. Could you get a mug tree that was that height?
Floor to ceiling mug tree.
Basically, a floor to ceiling
that rotates.
That you could spin around.
Oh, now we're talking.
What do you think
about
that?
Make a feature of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So, my granny used to have mug shelves. So like stuck to the wall, two mug shelves. Maybe that's a good
one. My mum's got some of that going on, yeah. Her favourite mugs are out on display.
A mug forest, if you will.
A lovely mug, a mug glade.
A mug...
A mug glade.
A mug glade, I really like that.
Get yourself a mug glade. You know what as well? My mum's thinking of that. My mum's also got hooks hanging off the bottom of the shelves. You can hook the...
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So actually...
Yeah. Mug glade.
Do you know what would be amazing? If you opened up the mug cupboard and they were hanging off the back of the door, they were hanging off the bottom of the shelves, they were stacked on there.
Inside your coat?
Inside your coat. Like, yeah, you're like, want to buy a mug?
Want to buy a mug, mate?
In fact, why don't...
Only fools and horses.
Do you know, yeah. Do you know what?
Go on, mate.
If anything... Fine, go to the charity shop where you gave away your other mugs.
Get them back.
Buy them back. You should buy them. In fact, turn your house into a museum themed around mugs and charge people a quid to get in.
Charge people a plastic cup.
Charge people the cost of a plastic cup. They can either get in by bringing in a Latitude cup or a pound. Go with a pound.
Beef solved.
Beef solved. Beef from the sorting out your beef. Beef solved.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This one is from Cairo. Is that how you say it? C-A-R-O.
It's Cairo.
Doesn't Cairo have an
no, it's
I in it?
Cairo?
Go again, sorry.
C-A-R-O.
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 Thank you.
So C-A-R-C. Ecliptic.
Ecliptic? Of all the words. So.
Cairo/Cairo. My son always throws his dirty clothes on the floor next to his laundry basket. I've tried photographing them and... She's put positing and then crossed out the I, posting it on the family WhatsApp group, but it hasn't improved matters.
Right. So here we have a situation...
End of beef.
End of beef.
Here we have a situation from Cairo where rather than immediately approaching him and saying, look, could you please... As I'm your mother, could you please put? She's gone pasag.
Oh,
I shamed him in front of the other members of the family.
I'm
sure that was last chance alone.
Well,
I'm sure she skipped to the end of like
Cairo. Cairo's not said that.
That's a good point.
I've tried photograph. Yeah, it's like that's
parenting.
Her first go-to thing is to photograph them.
It's not a big long list of things. You know what? We gave her more lines to write stuff down there. She didn't use them.
Family WhatsApp group is a brave new world of how to have, you know, family politics now.
For us, it's a fairly harmonious. It's a fairly harmonious place.
How many family WhatsApp groups have you got?
Oh, that's interesting. Three.
There you go.
Oh,
two.
What, yeah. Do you want to go through the details of them all?
In fact, oh, wait, maybe four. Okay, so we've got currently called Welcome Cleo. And that is the general family WhatsApp with all
everyone's in,
all the six of us in. So no partners are in that one.
Oh wow! Okay.
No partners are in that.
Interesting.
So that's my mum, my dad, my two brothers, and my sister.
Great.
And me. I don't know if there are any that don't include me. That's the one thing.
Good point.
We've got the rather confusingly bros and bros. They're two different ones. So bros is one that's all the siblings up by my sister.
Yes.
And then there's bros, which is just the boys.
Are they spelt the same?
Yeah.
An apostrophe shy.
Bros has an exclamation mark.
Dangerous. That's too dangerous. To go bloody hell, my sister's really doing it.
And then it's not because anyone's doing our head in. It is because it was formed because Luke and I were going to sing a song at David's wedding, so it was formed for that reason. But occasionally we send some like.
But it could be like Lena. Like,
what were you going to sing?
Oh, it's happened. We did it. I did two songs. So
I didn't know this.
Yeah, we opened with "I Can't Help Falling in Love with You," and then we closed with "Flying Without Wings."
Oh, and yes, please.
It was. I tell you what, we had a really nice time. We had a really nice time singing those songs, except for "Flying Without Wings" is a hard song to sing. It's like quite a hard one to pitch right, and I went into one bit too high and had to stop and go back and re-pitch it. It's the, you know, the bit, so impossible as it may seem, you've got to fight for every dream, cause who's to know which way, you know, that bit, it's that bit there, and I was up an octave up from that.
And so did you start from the beginning of the song?
No, I went, so impossible, I've gone too high, as it may seem, but literally, that's the only way around it. I couldn't, if I'd pushed through, it would have been far worse.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's bros. And then there's Sons of Stuart as well, which was, we were trying to organise a thing for my dad's birthday. But my sister lives in Singapore, so she wasn't going to come to it. So we just organised it on that WhatsApp.
Yeah. But you've got two, Annie.
Yeah, I've got one that's just me, my mum, and my brother, and one that is my mum's side of the family, so uncles, aunts, cousins.
Oh yes. Wow! How many in the group?
Can't remember. 15.
Oof, 15's a lot. That's like a stag do.
Yeah,
it's like a stag do
or birthday party type.
I've got two of those, two big ones.
Yeah,
I've got all things parry related.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's got about 25 members in it.
Oh my god!
And I've got 25 Parry's, Roberts, Davises, and there's about 25 in that as well. So basically, my dad's side of the family in a big one, my mom's side of the family in a big one.
How often are they used? Are they just
loads.
For like?
They're like, wow. You know, back to school photos, so-and-so's won a certificate.
It's like Steve's the modern round robin, isn't
it? Yeah, it's pretty cool. It means everyone can just say, oh, well done. Birthdays and stuff, well done. And then there's...
well done.
Well done. I have one stock well response, done. Really, about well done.
You've just got that Bitmoji of you riding a unicorn that says, well done, just send me for everything.
And then I've
My uncle's died, well done.
Yeah. And I've got sibling banter. Got sibling banter plus folks, and then
and
we've
it's called
got
sibling
Parry
banter
boys.
Plus folks.
Yeah,
these are great.
So I think
how many
about
siblings
five,
do you have?
Three others. Right. Yeah. So I think all in all it's about five family WhatsApps, but they're busy. Yeah, busy.
Yeah, I'd say there's only one that's really kicking, and that is the main family WhatsApp. The other ones have been sort of arranged, put together for.
Events
really. So they, you know, I wouldn't call them active WhatsApp groups. The main one's active on a pretty much daily basis.
Has anyone ever left your family WhatsApp group?
No. And I think I don't know.
No,
is that,
neither.
Is that the reason to not bring in outsiders?
Do you know what I mean? Like you don't bring
in partners.
Yeah.
We've had that.
Partners are by their nature kind of temporary. Right?
That's the nice way to look at it, yeah.
Sure.
That's what you tell them on every anniversary.
Now listen, you might be wondering why you're not getting in the WhatsApp group. By your nature, you know, you're here on borrowed time.
You might be wondering why I keep giving you the plastic mug.
Could there be like a high stakes kind of game where, like, it's a bit like Quantum Leap, or it's a bit like Queer Eye, where like...
What? I love this as a crossover.
I'm really excited by this, yeah.
Where, like, someone takes over someone's position in a family WhatsApp group and attempts to change their family for the better over the course of a week. And then at the end you find out that it was them all along.
Wow.
Go on, explain this. Explain this slightly more, because
I'd never seen the link between those two shows, but that does work.
That's it, isn't it? Yeah.
So basically, you've got a ghostwriter.
Yeah.
For your family WhatsApp.
And it's a troubled family.
Yeah.
And then
there's always aggro.
So this person comes and talks to you about your family and what's going on, and then comes in and ghostwrites in your WhatsApp family group instead of you for a week, and then leaves the family in a better position and then goes.
But won't they clock that you're behaving slightly differently on
you can't blow the cover.
Or you could have like wife swap, but with WhatsApp groups. So you don't know that someone, WhatsApp swap.
What's WhatsApp?
And you just have to pretend you're the other person. I mean, it might be quite boring, actually.
Great pitch meeting, guys.
What's the situation here then? Laundry on the floor? How do you feel?
Laundry on the floor. I guess is irritating her.
Wait, can I just say, we've had two polls where we've gone round the table. We've asked about mugs. We've asked about WhatsApp groups.
Yeah.
Both time, no question to Clarkie.
Oh, Clarkie.
Clarkie, what's your favourite mug?
Sorry, Annie.
And how many WhatsApp groups have you got?
Two. And it's
you've got to pick
like a brown mug.
Okay.
Brown mug.
Same as Smarties. Smarties.
Not Smarties
brown.
Mug, is it?
No.
You ain't got my Smarties mug, have you, boy?
I can't believe both of your favourite mugs are brown.
Yeah.
The worst colour.
What's the colour of the thing you're drinking?
Not always.
Nine times out of ten. Like, yeah, I mean, sure, but like, you know, it's for hot drinks.
But don't you want a bit of contrast?
Yeah.
So you know how much you've got left.
Yeah.
Why win?
Crosby, that mug's empty. Get nothing off of this.
Back to mugs. I hate a black mug. We've got a Cineworld. Not like that. We've got a Cineworld mug, and it's good, but you can't see the bottom.
Yes,
sure.
You won't be able to gauge.
That's a black mug.
But yeah, I've got some coffee left. I thought it'd all gone.
Clarkie's literally drinking a black mug. This is amazing.
It'll be cold now. See, well, stupid black mug.
Not wishing to get back to mugs, but we're there now. Clarkie, I just remembered a thing.
Here, go on.
In that you had the dispute at home as to which way to stack mugs, up or down.
Oh, mate.
I think about that quite a lot.
Mugs and glasses.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate when people do it upside down.
Glasses. Yeah, right?
Is that what Megan does?
Well, it's what she used to do. She no longer does it,
but would never
admit that I'd won that argument.
Through a series of passive-aggressive WhatsApp messages, Clarkie.
Tom came on came into the group and pretended to be me for a week and convinced her.
And it worked out.
You're welcome.
I think you're right, though, because you don't put, like...
You don't want dirty rim.
It's dirty rim, exactly. You don't want dirty rim.
Absolutely.
With a black mug, you wouldn't know whether you had a dirty rim or not. That's part of the problem.
Very good point.
Wait, what are we talking about?
So we're talking about pass ag... no, we're talking about laundry on the floor now.
Yeah, laundry on the floor.
Oh, my goodness.
I think the thing that has annoyed her is the fact that he's managed to put his dirty clothes so close to the laundry basket, but not in.
It feels willful.
Is he throwing them?
Yeah, but if you don't get them in, you want to go again, don't you?
Yeah. Well,
but it might have a lid. My one's got a lid.
Then you really shouldn't throw it.
Yeah. So what you think he's hoping?
I think I imagine it to have a lid, because otherwise surely he'd just throw it in.
Stick a basketball hoop over your laundry bin.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Make it fun.
Rip the lid off, for starters, if the lid is attached. If not, just take
it off. Cut a hole in it. Make that the basketball hoop.
That's a great idea. Take the lid, but cut a hole in it. I love that.
Thank you.
Do you know what?
Beef solved.
I think beef solved.
Beef solved.
From the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
This one is from Holt.
Who goes there?
Typically, I'm happy to do my share of tidying in the house, but I may be having some cultural confusion about what it means in Britain to clean a room.
Oh my goodness.
Fascinating.
So this one, Holt... I don't know I don't know where Holt is from, but cultural confusion, okay? Very timely. Sometimes my wife says, clean the living room, and I'll do a deep clean, and she'll be confused. If I only do a bit of a tidy, on the other hand, she sometimes expects it to be far more thorough. How do I know how much I'm meant to clean? Is it unclear because I'm not British? Now, it's a sad state of affairs that... This is the way we've made our foreign friends feel, that if they don't do things right, they assume it's a cultural thing.
Because they're not British.
They assume it's because they're not British. Well, firstly, Holt, welcome. You're very welcome to
Yes.
You're very welcome in our green and pleasant land, and I hope you make it your own home.
But keep it tidy.
Right. It sounds like he is keeping it tidy.
To what degree?
I think he knows the difference because he's differentiated between deep clean and
how just deep a bit is his clean?
As Gary Barlow famously yeah. sang. How deep is a deep clean? Well, a deep clean suggests you are. I mean, deep clean
shampooing
suggests
the carpet.
Shampooing the carpets. That's the only thing I could think of. Shampooing the carpets or putting the
I think dusting,
hoovering,
dusting. Polish. Not a deep clean, is it?
I'd say so. I think if you're dusting, you're going for a proper clean.
I think dusting is just cleaning.
No, I think dusting is cleaning. I think it has to require. It has to have some sort of liquid. I think if you've got a bowl with soapy liquid in it.
I suppose.
Oh yeah, like washing the floor.
So is it the difference between tidy and clean then?
Tidying, I think, is like
you're putting stuff
that
away.
Bottle there.
Yeah.
He describes it as a bit of a tidy, doesn't he? He says, like, if I do a bit of a tidy, that's not enough. If I do a deep clean, that's too much.
Split the diff.
I mean, that is the answer, isn't it?
And clean tidying the room. And cleaning are different. Tidying's like moving clutter.
Yeah.
And cleaning is like tidying spray, stuff away. Mop, cloth.
Spray, mop, spray, mop, cloth. Basically, Holtz, we've got three words for you. Spray, mover. Mop, cloth.
It's the new paper, rock, scissors.
Split the diff.
Split the diff.
Spray, mop, cloth.
You know what? Pretty much beef solved, but I'll say one thing, Holt. I hope you don't feel this, that it's a cultural thing. You shouldn't need to. You're very welcome in this country as long as you are paying your way. Beef solved. Okay.
Would you say we're cleaner than most countries? Is there a British clean?
No,
Singapore
so.
Is like super clean, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, where do we, like, if Singapore's at the far end of clean? And obviously the Turks are, you know. No, I'm joking.
This is the reason why you can't get into a discussion like this. Is what, like, you're like, because flip the question, which is also what you're asking. Yeah. Is one nation dirtier than another?
Yeah. Well, that's, I think the cultural element is, you know, are the Brits, if he goes home and they go, how clean are the Brits? He'd be like, they're not that clean. Because when I do a deep clean, they freak out.
Right.
They're not used to a deep clean. Do you know what I mean? Like that's why I'm wondering whether he.
I wonder where he's from.
I mean, we
Canada.
We don't know.
Wales. I think there's a travel man style documentary series in this where we go around and investigate how clean is the globe.
So it's like was it Kim and Aggie? How clean is your house?
It's that. Yeah.
But how clean is the planet? Isn't it going to be quite sad?
Mm. We don't want it to get into Attenborough territory. We're so clear of that. We're straw.
I don't think it's in danger of getting into Attenborough territory.
Watch out, Attenborough. We're coming for your job. So you think it's more along the lines of how clean is your house abroad?
We're looking at a league table of cleanliness, a league of nations.
Well, you know what? This is a great thing for people to email in. Beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
What's the cleanest country you've been to?
What A, are you from a different country apart from England? How clean is your house? That would be great. We've got one Polish listener who emailed us last episode.
Yeah.
So if he would like to
love that guy.
I'm trying to remember his name now. I want to say
it was a really good name. I remember that much.
It ended with Suave, didn't it?
Sorry, I thought I was going to sneeze.
That's all right. Don't worry. Emma's going to help us out. Yaroslav. Oh. Yaroslav, get in touch.
How clean is your house?
How clean are the Polish people?
Yes.
I feel like you might be inviting some bad tweets.
No, it has to come from you. It can't come from other people.
Yeah.
We're not asking.
It's not your opinion on other nations. No, thank you very much.
No.
And we're not asking Brits, where's the messiest country you've been to?
And also, as well, let's go regional. Let's go regional. If you're listening in Swindon.
Is Norfolk gross?
Norfolk, I think of Norfolk being quite, well, you know what?
It's not, also, we're not judging you on how, you know, just because you're not very tidy doesn't make you bad people.
No, right? Absolutely. Your house is an absolute pigsty and you're a good man.
Thank you. That means an awful lot to me.
You're a good man. Clarkie's house, gorgeous.
Spotless.
What a rotter.
I am an absolute terrible human being.
He knows where to hide the bodies.
Yeah.
Exactly. Actually, you would know where to hide the bodies, because just, we just assume that was part of the decor.
just having a sleep.
That's someone having a siesta.
The first week of the Edinburgh Festival, I had that. I built a zombie to try and use at the end of my show.
I built a full-size zombie.
And Clarkey came to my first show as a director and said, you don't need that. And I was like, you're absolutely right. I'd spent about 200 quid making it.
Oh, no.
So then I kind of had to get rid of it. And they said, just put it in bin liners and stick it around by the bins. So I was walking around Edinburgh with these two bin liners on this full-size zombie, walking down the road, dumped it behind the bins. And like, obviously, first week of the Fringe, everyone's there with shows and props. Now I'm batting an eyelid. I kind of thought, if you ever are going to kill someone, Edinburgh do it Fringe. The first week of the Fringe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone carry the body through the streets. Installation.
Bury it plain sight. People think, bloody hell, that's a bit extreme, isn't it?
You know what?
Fly people for it.
Just merge them and then stick them on the Royal Mile once rigor mortis set in with some flyers in their hand. Because, you know, there's always some people lying on the ground with flyers in their hand.
Yeah.
With their arms straight up.
Or do it in the show. My brother's friend was in Julius Caesar and actually got stabbed because they thought they should use a real knife.
What? No.
And the audience obviously like, this is wonderful.
How badly stabbed?
I survived.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm glad. Oh, I'm glad. But like...
But somewhere in the torso.
Oh, dear.
So yeah, if you're going to murder, do it at the Fringe in Zoo Roxy or something.
Exactly.
Sea venues.
Yeah, sea venues, of course.
This production...
No one can see it either, that's the thing. No witnesses.
So, Clarkey's gone.
In protest for us not coming to... him with our questions.
Yep. He's decided he's had enough of...
being ignored.
The two of us talking.
He's quit.
And he's quit. But that's fine because we've got you here, Annie.
Am I in Pappy's now?
You're now in Pappy's.
Great.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We'd like to hear your beef that you have with your flatmate. Now, you've said already, six and a half years.
6.5 years. And I've been very lucky because when I've gone to Edinburgh, she's not charged me rent. And
what?
I've had cheap rent. For the whole 6.5 years.
Why are you moving out?
Because she is...
Okay, sorry.
Going to live by herself. Okay.
She's had enough.
Yeah.
You've had it too
she's
good
had
for
enough.
Too long.
I wonder what her beefs are.
6.5 years.
6.5 years, yeah. So I don't really have beefs, but I do. I did notice something the other day.
Here we go. This is what we're talking about.
I don't know if it's a beef, more a something I thought was quite gross. But okay, so I don't eat eggs. Don't really like them.
Here we go.
Hate them, in fact.
What?
But...
Have you tried them in all their forms?
Yeah. The only time I would like one is in an omelette if there's enough other stuff that you don't really notice the egg. So, like, big lump of potato.
That's a lot of stuff.
If it was like a sort of Spanish-style tortilla.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
kind of
exactly.
Thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But hate poached, boiled, fried.
Scrambled?
Scrambled, hate. All of the combinations. Love an Easter egg.
Do you like a deviled egg?
Deviled.
What is that with spicy sauce?
Yeah.
No, I hate it.
No, okay.
Coddled.
Hate eggs.
Coddled egg?
Baked.
Baked it. What about on a Fiorentina pizza? An egg cracked on the top of a Fiorentina pizza? No?
No, thanks.
Fair enough.
Is there a problem with the texture or the taste? Or?
I've just always hated them. I think it's a combination of the smell and the texture and the taste.
That'll do it.
If someone doesn't like eggs, it's very hard to defend eggs. As not being gross.
Yeah. Well, I think that's true of lots of foods.
Yeah, like I'm a massive fan of eggs. I love eggs.
I love eggs.
If you turn around to me and go, what are you doing eating that? Look at it.
Look at what it is. Cooking in any form
and
is
And also like
disgusting.
The concept of what it is and why are you eating it, you kind of go, oh yeah, you've got me there actually. I can't really defend this.
In fact, that's like all of the things that I would find really hard to give up if I were to go vegan. Cheese and eggs are the key ones. Cheese is pretty grim.
It's pretty grim when you look at it.
When you think about it.
I know.
Oh, so this thing that absolutely reeks, or if it doesn't reek.
Doesn't taste of anything.
Looks rubbery.
Gone off milk shit that you've got in a lump. You love that, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It tastes really odd.
Do you know what? We were on a stag do this weekend, and at one point somebody opened the fridge. And I thought the person I was talking to had farted, right? I thought, that's disgusting. You just farted when you were talking to me. It's absolutely disgusting. Then I looked up and saw the fridge was open and there were all these cheeses for the cheese board. And I was like, oh, that's delicious. And it's a bit like when you see a tweet by somebody and you go, oh, that's a good tweet. And then you realise it's actually by somebody you don't like. And you go, I didn't really like it in the first place.
Yeah.
It's like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's
that fucking horrible smell? Oh, I'm going to eat it.
Yeah, I can't wait to eat that.
Yum, yum, yum.
Eggs the same way. Poached eggs smell weird.
Yeah, the only kind of egg I've ever wanted to like is when they're boiled and you'd have them with soldiers. Yeah. And I'd be quite jealous when I was little of the, like, I think it was just the dunking more than the actual.
We've covered boiled eggs in quite some detail. I had some on my way to the record.
Did you?
No, before I left.
But technically, it was you were on your way to the record.
So, yeah, the thing about the eggs is that noticed she had been. So, you know the little punnet, the box they come in?
The punnet, yeah. Sure, the egg punnet, yeah. Egg
punnet. After using the eggs, cracking them, eating them.
Yeah.
Shells went back in.
Shells back in with the ones that haven't been eaten yet.
And then
is
closed?
That closed, yeah.
Grim.
No.
That's
what?
Weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is weird.
I thought that was weird. But also, I don't eat eggs, so I didn't know if I was just finding it weird.
Outside because, of the gang.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you now, that really is weird. If I'm making if I'm using all six eggs, yeah. I'll put them back in so as not to put them on the counter.
Yeah.
It's quite an easy way to sort of chuck them then into the compost. I'm lying. I said compost. I didn't want to say bin.
Yeah, I thought that.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking the little punnet can be recycled, whereas the egg shells can't.
Well, you know what I do? I do recycle the punnet. The punnet's always getting recycled because we've got paper and card recycling. Yeah. So that's.
But you don't want it to get the inside of the egg on it before recycling.
I do a pretty clean break on an egg. You're not getting a lot of splashback on that. It's fine. Yeah. I reckon that's still good to be recycled. But it was bad when I said composting because I don't compost. I should. But no, it doesn't go back in the fridge.
No, but they stay out on the counter.
Yeah.
Oh, she also doesn't refrigerate the eggs.
I don't refrigerate eggs.
But it's not that I had.
No, that's fair enough. It just seems weird. It just seems.
That's what I thought. Okay,
it just seems lazy.
Not really a beef. It's just like a.
It absolutely is a beef.
It is a beef.
And you know what? Not only is it a beef, we've actually got Fanshawe standing here. He's going to hear that beef and solve it. Tom, off you go.
Oh, see you later, everyone. I'll send Fanshawe in.
Yep.
Oh, I love that. Hello.
Here's Fanshawe standing.
Ladies and gentlemen of the podcast, sitting right here, airtight room, can't breathe, little window there to the soul, producer over in the window. So
yes, you're in a very expansive mood today, Fanshawe.
Well,
you had a big breakfast?
It ain't Thursday.
It certainly ain't.
No. Well, let me tell you now, Annie. Hmm. Do you mind if I call you Annie?
No, please do. It's my name.
Hearing about your little dilemma there got me thinking about housing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The housing crisis.
No. I mean, we simple town here. We ain't had a crisis since the lemon. But let's not go. We're not here to talk about the lemon crisis. We'll cut a long story short. Ruined the apple bobbin. Lest we forget. Worst Halloween. The first time terror truly did arrive at Halloween.
Oh.
The old lemon in the apple bobbin incident. Lest we forget.
It's true they're going to make a feature-length movie out of that story.
Fingers crossed. Got my treatment in yesterday. Anyway, I digress.
Good luck to you.
I digress. Got me thinking about housing there. You know, you can build something. You can't make something live in it. Let me tell you a little story now about a man went by the name of Jam. He was...
Can you spell that, please?
J-A-E-M.
J-E-M.
Jam.
One of the settlers.
Oh.
Dutch. Dutch never did trust Jam. Dutch was another one of the settlers.
Right, okay, yeah.
Dutch never knew where Jam came from. And Dutch was Irish. Anyway. Jam lived over the road from Dutch, and Dutch was building himself a new barn. Well, Jam took a look out the window. Can't go building a new barn there with hay. That's going to blow right down. Dutch ignores him, builds his barn out of hay. Next day, Jam comes along. Well, he takes a big puff and he blows that barn right over. Next day, Jam thinks hard to himself. Thinks, I'm going to build a barn out of wood. Well, he builds it out of wood. Dutch looks across the road. He goes over there and he blows. Now, I'm starting to think I got myself mixed up here. I think that's a different story altogether. Let's just say put the eggshells in the bin, shall we? Hey, I'm off to pitch this lemon feature. Anyway, bye-bye.
Anyway, bye-bye,
bye,
Fanshawe.
Thanks for your help.
Oh, my God. So, Annie, did that help you in any way?
Yeah, it was the perfect analogy, I think.
It
for the
work, didn't it?
It really hit the
so
spot.
So eggs just go in the bin.
I think basically eggs just go in the bin.
And I actually think you should have a blazing row with your housemate just before you leave. Six and a half years.
And
like fucking throwing eggs.
If this is the reason you never talk to each other again for the rest of your lives, that would be amazing. Are you looking for a place? We can do a shout out.
No, I do. I have somewhere, I think. But
guys,
thank you.
Annie's got a place, so don't.
So just chill out.
Just chill out, guys.
Okay. Stop offering me bedrooms.
Stop offering Annie bedrooms. Annie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Have you enjoyed yourself?
Have I what?
Have you enjoyed yourself?
Oh, I thought you said drugged yourself.
Have you? Because you're a little downbeat. Have you drugged yourself?
Yeah, I have actually. I've had a lovely time.
Jolly good.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Plenty of beef solved.
So many beef solved. In fact, all of the beefs were solved.
Yes.
In that, all of the beefs were solved. Fanshawe's a trickier proposition this week.
It's hard to predict this lad. Do you know what I mean? I can't get a read on him.
No, I can't get a measure of the fellow.
But he's always there, and you can't argue with that.
No, tell you who's not always there.
Clarkie.
Still not here.
Disappeared.
Disappeared at the end, and he's not come back.
Off to protest, maybe.
Do you think he's off to protest?
I don't know. The Times, you know, he's off to do something.
Yeah, the Times there are a Clarkie. That's what's been said. So, obviously, if you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes or anywhere you're listening to it. You can leave a review on Podbean.
Podbean?
Yeah. Occasionally, I get emails from Podbean saying someone's left a review.
Send us a review on Podbean,
for
love of God.
Whack us a Podbean review, guys. For God's sake, what does it take?
Or just tell your friends about the show so we can keep growing the listenership.
Absolutely. If you enjoy this, recommend it to your friends.
We'd love to have your support on Patreon because we can't do that with it. We can't do this without that. So come and join us on Patreon and show your love and support, or you can give off one-off donations.
You can give off a one-off donation.
You can give off a one-off donation.
You know what? You're giving off a real one-off donation.
You are giving off a one-off donation, and I love it.
Yeah.
Shityemoney.com.
Shityemoney.com or patreon.com/ Pappy's Flat Share. All that remains is to say... Well,
let's leave it to Clarkey to finish the episode. Clarkey, close it off.
Clarkey?
Clarkey?
Clarkey boy. Speak to us, Clarkey.
Clarkey! Oh, God.
This episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team!
Stay tuned for the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call.
Ooh.
Cheers, everyone!
Bye!
Please be upstanding for the two-man...
Whoa!
Patreon Neighborhood Watch roll call.
Don't be silly. It's Willie.
She went to the same school as me. It's Julie.
That's the end of the auction. No more bias. It's Neil Dias.
Did you call them bias? That's the end of the auction. No more bias. It's Andrew Myers.
Sorry, everyone. That's the end of the auction, and that final lot we sold was an antique crab. Going once, going twice, to Andrew McNabb.
The end of the auction. I really won't say this again, everybody. It is the end of the auction, and I'm off to go and give my best friend a blowy. It's Zoe.
Well, well, well. We've reached that time of the auction where I have to tell you it's the end of the auction. But the good news is... that I'm selling this disco light. And yes, it's got several settings. Flashing even quicker. Oh, it's a strober. Going once, going twice. Sold to Phil Kober.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is with great sadness and regret that I announce the end of the auction.
And can I say, it's so wonderful to see so many lovely buyers come from so near and so far, but none more so than George Carr.
Well, 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 I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is the best and biggest auction that we have ever had. But sad news, I've just received a missive and it tells me it is the end of the auction. But before we go, I am pleased to announce the final lot. It is a signed photograph and album by the artist Jay-Z. But it hasn't been signed by him. It's been signed by a man called LZ. Order, order.
That concludes the Patreon Neighborhood Watch auction.
Going once, going twice, sold.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.